wanting to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, we'd like to read verses 20 through verse 35. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, or do not be anxious about it. If thou mayest be made free, use it rather, or take that opportunity. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. Yet I give my judgments as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord, to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. They that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. And he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is commonly, and that you may attend unto the Lord, or upon the Lord, without distraction. This seventh chapter is somewhat of a controversial chapter, and without a doubt it is a much misunderstood chapter. From verse 1, a statement that is made there, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me. From that statement, it is seen that Paul is writing in response to some written questions that had been submitted to him by the church of Corinth. And as you read through the chapter, it's not difficult to discern the nature and the matter of these questions. They were questions concerning the child of God in marriage, marital relationships, questions regarding those who were thinking about getting married, questions concerning the various positions that a child of God may have in life. One may be a servant, one may be a free man. Also concerning the status, various status of a child of God in life. We'll not concern ourselves with the substance of the questions. We only want to concern ourselves with some of the response of Paul to these questions. Because in response to the questions, he exhorts them of the importance of having a biblical perspective, of having a biblical attitude, of regarding something biblically. In other words, he is speaking of our point of view. He is, in regards to the questions about worldly concerns, and all these questions were about worldly concerns, he's exhorting them upon the importance of keeping everything in proper perspective. Keeping everything in proper perspective in all matters, in all situations of life. In other words, to develop and to always maintain a proper point of view. And our point of view is not proper if it is contrary to Scripture. Our point of view must line up with what the Word of God says. He is reminding them of the importance to always maintain a proper position. Someone will say, well, here's my position. Well, is your position biblical is what really matters. Here is my point of view. Well, is your point of view biblical? That's what matters. To maintain a proper frame of mind. This is what he's reminding them of in his answers. Due to the nature of the world in which we live, which is completely absorbed with the here and now, completely absorbed with the material, and due to our human nature, which is the absorption of self, and due to the ploys of Satan, it becomes, with those three things, the world, our flesh, and the devil, it becomes a constant struggle for every child of God to maintain a biblical point of view, to maintain a proper position and proper purpose, to maintain a proper frame of mind. You see, because there is an incessant battle for our minds that goes on every single day. And every single day in that battle for the mind, there is that desire to pervert the minds and thinking of God's people. So perspective becomes very important. Because really, perspective has everything to do with your intentions of life. Perspective has everything to do with your design of living. It has everything to do with your priorities. Everything. Your perspective determines your priorities. It has everything to do with what has preeminence in our lives. It has everything to do with where we place God. And every single one of us placed God somewhere in our lives. Everyone here has placed God somewhere in your life. And that all depends upon your perspective. Where we place the things of God in our life. depends upon our perspective. It has everything to do with our system of values and where we place those values. It has everything to do with our loyalties. And it determines, our perspective determines our decision-making process. You can easily see one's perspective by the decisions they make. I mean, it's easily seen. Perspective determines our pursuits. It determines our activities. In general, it simply determines the way we live our lives. So I want to speak this morning on a biblical perspective of life. First of all, Paul, with regard to their questions, we want to notice five things that they would always consider. Five things that they were to always give serious thought to. Five things that they were never to get away from. Five things that were to shape their point of view. Five things that were to shape their frame of mind, regardless of what else was going on then in their lives. These were five things that they were to always keep before them. So we want to mention those five things. Notice in verses 20 through 22, he mentions there, without reading the verses over, the question seems to have been whether or not one who has just been saved, whether or not that person should continue in the same employment that they had before they were saved. And Paul answers that question in verses 20 through 22. He gives the example of one who was a slave and one who was not a slave. But notice in verse 22, the last two words are Christ's servant. And I believe this is to be our biblical perspective. Whatever our employment is, whether you are happy with your employment, whether you are unhappy with your employment, that's really not the issue. Whatever your employment is, remember that you, as a child of God, are first and foremost Christ's servant. That should be our biblical perspective. That will go into every decision concerning whatever job it is that we have. I must first remember I am Christ's servant. He says in verse 21, art thou called being a servant or a slave? Care not for it. In other words, do not let that cause you deep anxiety and stress. Do not deem it disgraceful to be a slave, if that's your job. But if thou mayest be made free. Now there's an opportunity. This is quite an opportunity for a slave to have the chance to be free. And there are opportunities that come along. He says, use it rather, or avail yourselves of such. But the key to all of it, again, is the last two words of verse 22, Christ's servants.
Whatever opportunity comes your way, remember this, you are the servant of Christ. Do not let any opportunity, do not let any career, do not let anything get in the way of this. You are Christ's servant. That is to be our biblical perspective. That is our main vocation. You and I that are saved, our main vocation is we are Christ's servants. Well, I went to school for 8 years for such and such. You are Christ's servant. That is always to come first. Never is that to be secondary. Never is that to take a back seat to anything. This is biblical perspective. This is to be our frame of mind. So this is our main calling, Christ's servant. Now, our main calling is what we will be most committed to. We are Christ's servant in everything. Is to center around that fact. That's our focal point. I am the servant of Jesus Christ. And everything else in my life is to center around that fact. Christ's servants. That's what is to identify our life. One's job may be a truck driver. Another's jobs may be a factory worker. One may be an accountant. One may be a CEO. And on and on and on you can go. But none of that is what really matters. What really matters is whether it's the truck driver or the factory worker that he or she takes the attitude of, I am Christ's servant. I am to serve Christ in this factory. I am to serve Christ driving this truck. I am to serve Christ being a CEO. That is to be our biblical perspective. And nothing is to get in the way of that. Secondly, in verse 23, he says, you are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Must never, ever get away from this truth. I am bought with a price. That price is mentioned negatively and positively. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 18 and 19, negatively, we were not bought with silver and gold. Positively, we were bought or we were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without spot. In other words, you and I have been bought and we have been paid for with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We have been bought by God and we have been bought for God. So whatever comes my way, whatever our occupation is, we must remember this. I have been bought by God, and I have been bought for God. And that is to be our biblical perspective. The result of this is stated in 1 Corinthians 6:19, you're not your own. You're bought with a price, therefore you're not your own. Remember that. Remember that in every circumstance. Remember that in every decision you make. Remember that in every opportunity that comes your way. Remember it in all things. You are not your own. It is not your life. It's His. And then remember also, you're not to be the servants of men. Do not make decisions that bring you more and more and more into bondage with the world. This is to be our biblical perspective. Thirdly, whatever their position, they were to abide with God. Notice verse 24. Again, the question is, someone's just been saved. Should they continue in their old employment or should they get new employment? Brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Whatever your occupation, whatever your position, whatever your status, whatever your circumstance, abide with God. No matter what, you adhere to God. No matter what, you stick to God. You stand by God. You continue, you remain, and you persist with God. In other words, you stay close to God. That should always be our focal point. I must stay close to God. If there is a decision to be made, the main thing that ought to be on your mind is, will it bring me closer to God, or can I see this bringing me further away from God? It should not be, oh, what an opportunity. What a financial opportunity for my family. In 20 years, I'll be able to retire. I'll be able to do that. Not necessarily. You may think so. But that can fall apart and hurt. Your only concern is I've got to stay close. I've got to stay close to God. In every pursuit, in every endeavor, your point of view, your focal point ought to be this: I am the servant of Jesus Christ. I have been bought by Him. I have been bought for Him, and I must stay close to God. The fourth thing, he reminds them in verse 25, dealing with a different question now, concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord. To be faithful. That should always be our focal point. That should always be our point of view. Be faithful. Be faithful. What that means is be constant. What I'm about to do, can I be faithful? If not, you have no business doing it. I don't care what it is. It may be a very legitimate employment or something else that's very legitimate. But if it makes you less faithful, it's wrong. To be faithful is to be true. It's to be devoted. It's to be unswerving. To be steadfast. Be dedicated and committed. To be dependable. Can I do this and the church still be able to depend on me? Can I do this and still be reliable, or is it going to make me less dependable and less reliable? Our responsibility is to be faithful. Again, I don't care if you're driving a truck, working in a factory, being a CEO. That's not the issue. The issue is be faithful. Be faithful to what God would have you to do. So in every pursuit, in every endeavor, in every decision of a child of God, your point of view, your frame of mind ought to be constant faithfulness. And then fifthly, in verse 29, he just reminds them, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. That's true for all of us. I am to serve God. And the time is short. And it's not just the shortness of our life. You may get in a situation health-wise where you're no longer able to do what you once did. Folks, the time is short. No matter how you look at it, the time is short. I am to serve God. And I am to serve God right now. And time is short. And it's getting shorter every day. I am to abide. I am to stay close to God. I am to be faithful in whatever it is that we do. And the time is short. The time, the season, and the period of serving God with my life is short. The time or the period of sticking by God and being dedicated to God and being committed to God and being true to God is short. What that means is the time is brief. The time is limited. Well, once I get past this situation, then I can see myself doing such and such. The time is short. Don't put it off. The time is short. That is, it's short-lived. And it is fleeting. The realization that our time to be what God would have us to be and to do what God would have us to do is limited, it is fleeting, and that ought to make us, the realization of that ought to make us more determined, more urgent, more conscientious, more zealous, and more passionate. So he mentions five things that I believe should go into shaping our point of view. And then in verses 29 through 31, he mentions five other things. And in these verses, he's making application of our biblical perspective or our point of view, the five things that we've already mentioned. And what he's saying here is maintain a biblical perspective. He gives five examples. Maintain a biblical perspective in married life. Most of the questions, as you read through 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it's very obvious that most of the questions were in regards to marriage. And he goes on and he says here, in verse 29, they that have wives, be as though they had none. The time is short. In application to that, though they that have wives, be as though they had none. Now, the instruction here is addressed to husbands. But the application is to both husbands and wives. The instruction here is not in any way implying that one's spouse is to be neglected. You say, well, it seems to me that's what it's saying. Well, it can't be, because that would be going against what the Bible teaches. So that's not what it's saying. The teaching, I believe, is that the husband and wife should live their lives first and foremost in view of their relationship with God. That is, God is their first place. That is, no matter what your married life is, you may have a rotten married life, you may have a terrible married life, your responsibility is to be the servant of Christ. Your responsibility is to stay close to God. Your responsibility is to be faithful to God. That's your responsibility. And we are to maintain that focal point. We are to maintain that point of view throughout our entire married life. So when it comes to marriage, our point of view, our frame of mind ought to be, I am a servant of Christ. I have been bought by the Lord. I have been bought for the Lord. I am His property. I am to stay close to God, and I am to remain constant. I am to remain true. I am to remain unswerving and steadfast and dedicated and committed to God. No matter what that husband does, no matter what that wife does, that's what you and I are to do. That is to always be our focal point. We cannot lose track. Cannot lose sight of our focal point. Secondly, this applies in afflictions. Verse 30. And they that weep, as though they wept not. This is not in any way a direction against weeping. What he's simply saying is, in times of weeping, in times of affliction, in times of suffering, we must maintain our point of view. We must maintain a biblical perspective. In times of weeping, I am Christ's servant. Don't forget that. Don't let the sorrow take over your life. You are the servant of God, is what this is saying. How many times people allow sorrow and heartache to control the rest of their life? And this is what he's teaching against here. You do not do that, because you remember you are Christ's servant. That is, no matter how great the sorrow is, I've got to go on serving the Lord. And there are people here right now who have gone through terrible things. They're still here. They're still here. Still serving the Lord. Do they have sorrow? Of course they do. But the sorrow doesn't take over. The sorrow doesn't take over their lives. The sorrow doesn't dominate their lives. What is to dominate our lives is, I am Christ's servant. And I am to stay close to God. And I am to be faithful to God. That is what is to dominate my life. So no matter what the sorrow, and I've known people, I've seen it go both ways. Seen people experience the loss of a child or the loss of a spouse, and it takes over the rest of their life. And that's wrong. That's always wrong. And I'm not trying to lessen their sorrow in any way. That is wrong. We are not to let these things dominate us. But we must remember who we are. So what he's saying here is that you do not allow affliction come between you and God. You remain faithful to God, even through heartbreaks and tears. You're to keep God first. And you're to stay close, and you're to be faithful to the Lord. The other end of the spectrum, the third thing in verse 30. And they that rejoice,
as though they rejoice not. That is, in times of pleasure, in times of jubilation and gladness, don't allow those times to come between you and the Lord. Remember, in times of joy, in times of jubilation, in times of pleasure, you're the servant of Christ. You've been bought with a price. You're to stay close to God. And you're to remain faithful to God. And the time to do so is short. So even in times of pleasure, do not allow the pleasure to come between you and the Lord. Fourthly, verse 30, they that buy, as though they possess not. What that is simply saying is, whatever you buy, keep everything in its right perspective. Whatever you buy, you're the servant of the Lord. You've been bought with price. You're to stay close to God. You're to be faithful. Whatever you buy, you hold with a loose hand, willing to let go if God says let go. Whatever you buy, you do not buy it and allow that thing, whatever it is, I don't care what it is. You do not allow that thing to come between you and the Lord. You buy, and then you live as if you possess not, because your first responsibility is, again, I am a servant of Christ. We're to maintain, fifthly, this biblical perspective in all worldly concerns. They that use this world, and that's what the world is here for. That's what God put it here for you and I to use. As not abusing it. That is, this has to do with necessary and proper use of the world as far as furnishing food, as far as furnishing clothing and medicine and protection, and on we could go. It is the right to use the world for these things because it was made for these purposes. But we are not to abuse it. That is, we're not to get so caught up in it that we forget why we're here. To be the servants of Christ. In other words, we're not to make the indulgences of this world the main object and purpose of our living. In conclusion, the reason for what Paul has been saying is found in verse 35. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Now that goes back to the immediate context of verse 33 and 34. But I believe there's the application, of course, to all these verses. What he's saying is, maintain a proper biblical perspective. And this is for your own profit. It's for your own gain. It's for your own advantage. Maintaining a biblical perspective, he goes on and says, I speak for your own profit. Not that I may cast a snare upon you. That is to have the mindset of, I am Christ's servant. I belong to Him. I am to stay close to Him.
I am to be faithful to him in all things. These things aren't meant to bind us. That's not what they're there for. It's not to entrap us. And that's the attitude that so many take. Well, if I think of myself as a servant of God, I won't be able to do this, I won't be able to do this, I won't be able to do this. In other words, it becomes binding. It's a trap. And Paul says, I write these things for your own profit. Don't write these things as a trap. And then he goes on to say, but for that which is commonly, or it's agreeable and suitable to you. To think this way, in all things, I'm a servant of Christ. I'm bought with a price. I must stay close to God. I must be faithful to God. To consider that in all things, in all aspects, in all endeavors, in all pursuits. That's very agreeable and suitable to mankind. Your life will be so much better. And then he goes on and says that you may attend or pay attention to the Lord without distraction. Paul is saying, I'm telling you these things so you will not be distracted from the Lord. A distraction is a diversion. It is an interruption. Something that interferes. Something that hinders. As long as we live in these physical bodies, we're going to have some distractions. As long as we live in this world, we're going to have some distractions. But don't you see what Paul is trying to teach here is don't bring distractions into your life. There's enough already. Don't bring more. And that's what we do. There's probably not an exception here. We all do this. We all bring things into our life that are going to make us busier and busier and busier. And then we say, what? I'm too busy. Well, why is that? Why is that? It's because we bring so much stuff into our lives. In other words, what he's saying here is you do not allow marriage. You do not allow afflictions. You do not allow joys. You do not allow business. You do not allow worldly concerns obstruct or stand in the way or hamper your relationship with God. That's first. And that's why when people come and they want to blame their unfaithfulness upon their husband or they want to blame it upon their wife, you're wasting your time telling me that. Because I'm not even going to listen to it. Because you need to get past that. I don't care how rotten he is. I don't care how rotten she is. That's not the issue. The issue is you need the right frame of mind to continue on serving the Lord. And again, there is the reminder. The time is short. Too short to waste upon the things and pursuits of this world. Again, as we've said many times, 20 years from now, it's not going to matter how big a house you raised your kids in, how nice of a car you drove. It's not going to matter one iota. Not one iota. But I'll tell you what will matter, and that's whether or not you stayed faithful to God. Amen. Whether or not you served God. Whether or not you kept a right relationship with God. That's what will matter.
That'll matter. That'll make a difference. All these other things really isn't going to matter in the larger scheme of things. God help us to have a biblical perspective, a spiritual frame of mind, that in everything we never forget, I'm the servant of the Lord. I'm the servant of the Lord. Yes, something that I consider terrible has happened or whatever, that doesn't change the fact that I'm the servant of God. Someone has mistreated me, but you're the servant of God, so act like it. Someone has said a lie about me, you're the servant of God, act like it. Don't get caught up. Don't get caught up in all these other things. And I believe this is the message that Paul is writing to the Corinthians about. And it's the message that we need to take to heart this day. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead.